Tomorrow, Secretary Powell visits Brussels to meet with NATO and European Union foreign ministers. The hastily scheduled visit is considered an attempt to work on relations with allies whose differing views of the war in Iraq have precipitated the worst crisis in transatlantic relations in decades. NPR's Silvio Poggioli reports from London.
Secretary of State Powell will arrive in Brussels after weeks of mutual mudslinging, with two ugly stereotypes taking hold. The United States as trigger-happy unilateralist bully, and Europe as self-indulgent and weak-kneed appeaser. European governments are divided over siding with the United States. But Christoph Bertram, director of the Institute for International and Security Affairs in Berlin, says the great majority of European public opinion blames the Bush administration for altering the transatlantic political and military partnership.
There is a general feeling in Europe, not just in Germany, that this administration is not terribly interested in the old NATO, but regards it as a kind of toolbox from which you pick and choose if you feel you want to do something with it, but if you don't, you just don't use it or even consult it.
Some analysts say the original fault line in U.S.-European relations is not Iraq, but differing reactions to 9/11. Dominique Moisy, deputy director of the French Institute of International Affairs in Paris, says Europeans underestimated how traumatic 9/11 has been for America. He says protecting the life of its citizens is now the U.S. priority.
And that very natural instinct has led the United States to somewhat extreme conclusions. There is a kind of brutal selfishness in the U.S. view of the world, which the world has difficulty to accept.
Moisy says the U.S. and Europe perceive security threats very differently. The defense budgets of all 15 EU countries together are only 40% of what the U.S. alone spends on defense. Europeans favor what are called the soft weapons of multilateral institutions and diplomacy, and they spend more than the U.S. on international aid. Moisy says this has led to what he calls an irresponsible European attitude toward the threat of weapons of mass destruction.
I think there is an unfortunate division between the Americans asking the right question but giving the wrong answers, and the European sensing that the Americans' answers are dangerous but refusing to ask the legitimate questions which the Americans are asking.
Some analysts say the U.S. and Europe began drifting apart long before 9/11. There were disputes over international treaties as well as on social issues such as the death penalty, gun control, and genetically modified food. Richard Overy, professor of modern European history at London's King's College University, sees a gap of mindsets and cultures.
And the consequences, of course, now, 18 months after September 11th, I think that relations between Europe and America are probably at their lowest ebb since the 1930s.
Europe itself has been sharply divided over Iraq. Among the governments supporting the U.S. position, Britain has stood staunchly beside the United States. But Charles Grant, director of London's Centre for European Reform, says that in the lead-up to the conflict, the British people aligned themselves much more closely with an overall European anti-war public opinion.
The British people are understanding, perhaps, are beginning to understand that they are more European than they thought, because they have reacted in a similar way to the other continental European peoples. And I think that after this crisis is over, there may be some reorientation, not only of government policy, but also public feeling towards the continent away from the US.
The Secretary of State will have a tough time healing relations. The Europeans want a louder voice through a leading United Nations role in Iraq's post-war reconstruction and administration. And they'll press for greater U.S. efforts to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Europe knows it may not be needed to win the war in Iraq, but that in a complex region like the Middle East, it will be needed to win the peace. Silvio Poggioli, NPR News, London.
U.S. forces have launched a two-pronged offensive south of Baghdad, ending a week-long pause in the drive toward Iraq's capital. The army has moved against Iraq's Republican Guard near the city of Karbala, and to the east, Marines have captured a strategic bridge over the Tigris River at the city of Al-Qut. Both moves are intended to overcome Republican Guard divisions that are blocking approaches to Baghdad. At midnight Iraq time, U.S. forces rescued Army Private First Class Jessica Lynch, who had been held as a prisoner of war at an Iraqi hospital near the city of An-Nasiriya. She had suffered multiple wounds but is in stable condition. The forces also retrieved 11 bodies, at least two of them Americans.